Thank you, Danny. Melanie? Okay, well, this morning, I want to welcome you to Cascade. If you're new to us, so glad that you're here, and actually glad that all of you are able to be here in this fog-filled morning. Is that going to burn off in time? I mean, if we're going to get sun today, let's hope so. Because I really enjoy this second chance at summer here that we've had in the last couple days. It's been amazing. We're wrapping up a series, a sermon series that we call BLESS, and it's an acronym that lays out five missional practices that all of us can do each and every day to help carry out Jesus' mission where we live and where we work. Because God has blessed us, and he wants us to be a blessing to others. And I'm really excited this morning because we're actually going to hear from people who've been blessed and are being a blessing to others. And as is the case most of the time with situations like this, people are usually pretty humble and they don't like to talk about themselves. And so we're going to force them this morning to actually say, to talk about the good things that they're doing in our community. God is on the move, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout our week. And I'm really happy to highlight and even celebrate how he's using us to be a blessing to others. But before we jump into that, I want to take a second to look forward. Next month, it's November. We know the rain is coming. We need some pick-me-up to push us through. And so don't miss the chili feed that's going to happen on November 12th. We've been planning that for a while. It's a chance to chow down with the perfect comfort food for rainy days. It's a chance to hang out with one another and fuel up for Turkey Bowl III. Did you see what I did there? It's Roman numerals, right? Turkey Bowl number 3. And this is a family-friendly flag football game. I've been to 2 of them. We won't miss it for anything, even if it rains. It's going to be amazing. So please join us for that. It's held at Centennial Park in Snoqualmie. The game is. The chili feed will just happen right here after church. Then I'm very much looking forward to a 3-week sermon series called Married People. And since I arrived here a few years ago in the Snoqualmie Valley, I noticed this area is saturated with people who are raising kids, right? You're supposed to nod your head and you say, that's why I'm here. There's a lot of married people, and it's no secret that married life comes with its rewards and also with its challenges. I've lost track with the current statistics on how long the average marriage is in the United States. It's not very long. It's always depressing, just a few years. But here's the good thing. Good marriages don't just happen. Let me tell you why that's good. Because with 2 people making investments, 2 people being intentional, your life together can be very rewarding. It doesn't just happen. And so we want to equip and encourage all couples around 3 topics: connecting, conflict, and communication. And I am perfectly aware that a 3-week sermon series isn't going to solve like all the deepest issues in your marriage relationship, but it's a step. And we as a church staff, we as a church want to be on the side of you and your marriage together. And so we're planning things throughout this. We're going to do a marriage retreat in the spring, more information on that coming. And a marriage retreat, someone asked me this week, what's a retreat? It's just a weekend where you and your spouse can sit down and take in some content. There's speakers, people who are there to encourage you and hopefully enrich your marriage and send you home with some really practical things that you can start doing in your life together. So that's coming up in the spring. And in December, we've partnered with some of our ministries here. Next summer, our youth are going to be headed to Ecuador again, and so they're thinking about fundraising. In our children's ministry, they're always just really good with children, which is why they're in that line of work. And so we're going to do a date night as a church. So you can come here and leave your children with us. Scary, right? For a small nominal fee that's going to help send high school students to Ecuador. And then you can it's date night. It's just fun time. So we're doing one of those in December, and we're going to plan several of those in 2018 as well. So I'm very excited for some of these things that are going to happen next. BLESS has been a journey that we've been on for the last 6 weeks, and it begins with prayer. We've kind of been walking through this, identifying 3 to 5 people in your life who are far from God and just intentionally praying for them. God, how can you use me to bless others. The next is listening with care. We spent a week just talking about how we listen and listening well to the cares and the struggles and the pains that people have. E means to eat together, which I like to describe as barbecue first. We're talking about just building genuine friendships with folks and asking God where he might lead them. S, the first S in bless, means to serve in love. And then finally, last week, we talked about sharing your story. And I want to say this. As God opens doors for you to normally and naturally share about your faith relationship with God, if you've never done that before, it's really intimidating. And I had someone come up to me after church, and they really wanted me to say, you know, first of all, that in their life, they had built this up into be this like, hugely intimidating thing. And one of the ways that they kind of got past that was just to go, you know, this doesn't have to be perfect. I'm probably going to look back later and say, oh, I should have said that, or I should have asked this question. If that happens to you, that's a good thing, because it means that you're humble and you're paying attention. And God is going to open doors for you. Sometimes all that's required is just to take a deep breath, say a quick prayer, and start to talk. What we offer God in the power of his Holy Spirit through our presence in people's lives, he can use in significant ways. It's a multiplying effect. It's more than just your words. You don't have to say just the perfect thing. You're available and present and just making yourself and your words available for the Holy Spirit to use. So for many of us, this journey will stretch us. I promise you, the most remarkable adventure that you can take with another person is this one. It will challenge you, it'll strengthen you, it'll encourage your own faith like nothing else. And there's this really important point I was reminded of this week, that when God stretches us, it's life-giving, not life-diminishing. When he asks us to give self-sacrificially, it doesn't take life away from us. It actually gives us life. And that's the journey that we're always on with the Lord. As he stretches us and as we grow, it's not diminishing life. Those experiences actually give us life. And so sharing your story is one of those experiences. There's many more. So as people who are blessed, who've been provided by God with everything, and I'm not just talking about material things, but I mean the time that we have, the people and relationships that God's put in our lives. One of the purposes that God, why he blesses us, is so that we can in turn be a blessing to others. And that word blessing, you know, we often say that before Thanksgiving meals, right? Say the blessing. We associate it with different things. Sometimes it gets associated with, you know, oh, I'm so blessed. It's this like idea of like material wealth or material things that God has given to us. You know, all bless means is that God's favor is on you. God's favor is on you. When you experience God's blessing, it means that he's present in your life. It's more full, more abundant, more complete with him than it is without him. And there are going to be moments where unmistakably God does something good in your life, not because you've earned it, but just because. And you recognize that because God wants to bless us. But there is this great purpose behind it from the beginning when he talked to Abraham, when he promised Abraham that he would bless him and his descendants. It's that they would in turn extend and share that blessing with others. He said, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And as followers of Jesus Christ, we join God's people in that tradition. So this morning, I want to wrap up this series by highlighting, even celebrating, just a couple of ways that God is using individuals and also using us as a church to be that blessing. And how this all came about is a few weeks ago, I was sitting in one of our church leadership meetings, and one of our leadership team members who's very active in our church, he shared that he'd been coming to a few staff meetings and was just blown away by the number of things that happen in a given week here at Cascade Covenant and beyond. And he was so encouraged by the stories that were being told and the reports that he heard. He's like, We got to tell people about this stuff. And there's always so much, we don't have time to tell it on a Sunday morning, but it got me thinking. We do need to celebrate. We do need to celebrate the things that happen in our youth ministries, because there are significant numbers and things that happen in a given week that we don't see. I mean, right now, there's 6th, 7th, and 8th graders down in classes at that end of the hallway. Significant stuff. During our midweek high school and middle school events, amazing things that happen. So we want to celebrate that. Financial Peace University was something that happened last spring that we've really never talked about, but it was a huge blessing in the lives of many people. We're going to talk about this place called Echo Glen, and we also want to talk about Rest Stop. But in kicking all this off, this week I was on a conference call with a group of other pastors and leaders in the Covenant denomination, and I was on this call because each one of these pastors, their congregation is involved in the Congo, the DRC, in some significant way. And so as a congregation, we've been on the ground there for 75 years. Last spring, like 65 of you helped raise $100,000 for clean water in the Congo. And there's actually a church in Santa Barbara that started doing this 5 years ago. And the pastor there was sharing, he's like, I thought that this was going to be a one-and-done thing. Each year, it's grown. They raise over $100,000 for clean water every year. He's like, I just can't figure it out, but it just keeps happening. And they were sharing another story from a couple that I actually have no idea where they live, but they sponsor over 100 World Vision kids. Think about that. It's $50 a month. It's $5,000 a month. And they do not have like super paying jobs. The way that the person was describing, because he's met them, they live in a very rural place, and the husband is basically like an Uber driver, taking people to the airport and back. So they live very humbly, and they have channeled all the resources that they can. And they actually want to get to 175. I'm just blown away by this. And it's something that they just felt like God had called them to, and they stepped out in faith, and it's just grown and grown and grown and grown. And so this year, for every 2 kids that are sponsored, World Vision Congo kids that are sponsored by Covenant churches, they're going to sponsor an additional child. So like last spring, we already had around 100, and we sponsored 22 more. That actually works out to be like 33 kids that we sponsored, just because of this couple. So unbelievably good stuff happening in our denomination as it relates to that. I want to turn the focus here to our own youth ministry and invite Sam O'Brien up here on stage and Gabe Schmidt, if he's still here with us. And thank you. You guys have stuck it out for 2 different services. I'm so impressed. And I'm even going to switch microphones. But in a given week, we have, I don't know, 20 or more that give up their Monday nights to come here in a small group of volunteers that dedicate a lot of time and invest a lot of time with our high school students. The same thing happens on a middle school level. And 2 weeks ago, 25 middle school students, I think there's like 30 or 40 kids who come each week. Am I right on that? My son is one of them. But 25 went to a retreat, Cascades Camp, down in Yelm, and joined another 400 middle schoolers. That's crazy. And so I want to introduce you to Sam O'Brien. He's serving an internship here at our church with Pastor Tim. And so he spends a lot of time with our middle school kids. That's kind of his focus. And I just want, you know, in just a couple of words, can you summarize what a weekend with 400 middle school students is like?
Chaos. Just kidding. No, the kids are usually pretty good. To sum it up, usually just the typical weekend with the middle schoolers is just kind of relaxing, having probably too much fun than we probably should have. But that's usually.
We'll just leave it at too much fun as that, right? And Gabe, well, first of all, introduce yourself. Tell us about you.
I'm Gabe. I go to Twin Falls Middle School, and the mascot is the Raven. So yeah.
Yeah, I asked you in the first service what the mascot was, and then I said, "Will you go to Halloween as a Raven?" And you said,
"Yeah."
And then you spoke like a raven by saying, yeah, perfect. So it rained. 2 weeks ago is when we got like 7 inches of rain in one weekend. Tell us, like, how did your mom pack you for that trip?
She gave me a lot of clothes, but I only wore one pair. So that was...
Were you aware of this? When you opened the backpack, you saw all the clean clothes.
At least they're clean.
I got it. So give us a highlight. Highlight from your weekend.
I got to try paintball for the first time. That was really cool. And I didn't get shot. So
that's why you were able to wear the same set of clothes?
Yeah.
Wow. He's elusive, this one right here. Okay. So the kind of money question that we have been asking, that I wanted to ask you guys, is as it relates to being a blessing, like the ways that God has blessed us, like how have you seen opportunities to bless others as a youth volunteer?
The blessings, you don't really see them until they happen. Once God opens that door, then it's like, boom. Then all they come just kind of filing through.
And I asked you in the first service, like, in a given week, like, how much time do you devote to middle school ministries right here?
Between 20 and 30 hours.
Yeah. So that's a huge investment that he's making in the lives of our students. And as one of those parents, I very much appreciate that. Thank you. So, Gabe, for you, are there ways that you see God opening doors or giving you opportunities to bless others?
Now that I'm in middle school, there's even more opportunities. Like, I was chosen to be out of 10 kids in the sixth grade to be a natural helper at my school. And that is just, like, you help out with kids and stuff.
Kids and stuff. So natural. So people, is they, like, ask, do you have a name tag? Or how do they know that you're a natural helper?
It's kind of like a discreet thing. But it's just like a trustworthy person.
Gotcha. So you're very trustworthy. And you don't wear a name tag in school because that would not be cool. But you're just looking for opportunities to help others. That's basically what it is?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I want to thank you both for coming on stage and joining us. Please give them a round of applause. Well, next I want to invite Bruce McLaren and also Kathy Julian to join me on stage. And as they make their way here, they both were participants in Financial Peace University. And so this is an incredibly scary thing to come on stage and be identified by this, because the rest of us here are financial experts, are we not? Right? I mean, we have got this financial thing down. That is definitely not true, and it's just one of those, managing our finances is usually something that we just pick up by osmosis from our parents, and most of our parents never talk to us about it at all. So we've just kind of been thrown to the wolves and left to figure out by ourselves. And for, I think I speak for most of us, there's still a lot of figuring happening. And so I know in Bruce's life and also Kathy's life, they finally got to the point where they're like, you know what? I want to hit the restart button here and figure this out. So just from initially, from both of you, I'm curious, how did you find out about Financial Peace and like what attracted you to do this?
I think for me, it was feeling like Kurt and I weren't on the same page, that we had never really sat down and talked about money. It was more, I think we need to pay this bill off, or I think we need to spend some money here. And he'd say, yeah, that's great. And then he would be saying, I think we need to do something else. But we never really sat down and put a plan in place. And this was a way where we actually sat down and we talked about it. And it was amazing. After we celebrated 20 years last Thursday. And I said, you know, after 20 years, we finally sat down and said, this is what is important to us. And we want to have a decent retirement. We don't want our kids to be paying for things that they shouldn't, both monetarily and in their lives. We wanted to be able to show them how you should do this, that you should actually plan it. And one of the things that Financial Peace taught us was you basically train your money where it's going to go. Don't let your money control you. you need to be controlling your money. And it was really nice to be able to do that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's the best commercial we probably could give for financial peace. Thank you very much. Bruce, tell us from your story, because you're a facilitator, but you had to do this first. Like, what was the original draw?
I was broke. I was 4 years ago, I was $325,000 in debt. Today, I stand before you debt-free.
And that's because you inherited just a ton of money. No, you didn't.
No, but I was searching, and it was a painful search. And I had read some of Dave Ramsey's books, and he approaches it from a biblical standpoint, which made a lot of sense to me. So I gave it a try. I attended a Financial Peace University, graduated from it, and it changed my life, and I wanted to help others. So that's why I facilitated this course.
Wow. And more than, I think there was like 30 or so people that attended this. I mean, 20 couples, I think, maybe were represented for 10 weeks. That's a long time. But to graduate, you have to go 9 out of 10, and I think everybody graduated. So what happens in 10 weeks?
A lot of soul searching, a lot of actually talking about what's important to you as a couple, or I think we had
individuals.
We had a couple of individuals as well. So what was important to them? Where did they want to be in 5 years, in 10 years? Did they want to be strapped to having to work overtime? Did they want to have to go get another job just to pay for rent and food and clothes and these kinds of things?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, you see Dan talking about helping people in the Congo. I don't know if you've ever felt this, or you want to help people, and you see the impact that it makes, but then when you go to reach into your wallet, you're thinking, I don't know if we can. Do you ever have that feeling? Well, I do. And when you're in broke, when you're in chains, because you're in debt, and even if you want to give, it's hard to give. It's hard to tithe. What this course taught me is it helps you break those chains. And it's not about something that is a hidden knowledge. I mean, it's only 20% brain knowledge, and it's common basic sense, but it's 80% behaviors. And coming together, you know, in a group, not only are we accountable, but we're all realizing that we're all in that. 1 in 3 American families today does not have $5,000 in cash in the bank. 1 in 3 families in the United States. That means when an emergency happens, they move to a credit card and they move right into the chains of debt at 20-some percent interest. What this course does is it teaches you how to avoid that. So that's what it did for us.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have like $500,000 in cash just sitting around all the time, right? Isn't that the... No, I'm kidding. So, as it relates to blessing and being a blessing, how, I mean, does participating in something like Financial Peace open doors for you?
I think it can. I have tried to kind of pass on my recommendations, at least, to doing the Financial Peace to a couple of other people that I know are really struggling. And I think that's pretty much my role. I'm certainly not going to tell them what to do with their money, but simply passing on the information, that was passed on to me about a year and a half ago was when I originally heard about Financial Peace. We just weren't able to do it at that particular time on that night. But I'm hoping that being able to be a blessing to other people, other adults, by letting them know that that exists. But the other way I want to be a blessing is to my children, so that they don't grow up not knowing how to deal with money, because I grew up exactly the same way that most people do. My parents didn't really talk about money, and they didn't have much. So I want them to see us budgeting. You know, my kids this morning, that we ate breakfast on the half of the table that wasn't covered with a budget. But I was working on that last night when I went to bed, and I said, you know what, I don't care if they see when I wake up in the morning, you know what? That's part of what I'm doing this afternoon, is we're working on the budget, and we frequently say things like, is this a need or is it a want? Is it something we have to have, or is it something you maybe want to save for? So,
yes, and Bruce, how would you answer that?
Oh, I'm just going to let that go with Kathy.
Seriously, it's enough. It's great. You never let anything go.
I did.
That's amazing. Well, thank you. Please give them a round of applause. Thank you for sharing and joining us for that. And I think the next round of financial peace is going to happen again this spring. So if that's something you want to jump into, I more than encourage you. Well, there's been two instances this fall where, as pastor of Cascade Covenant Church, I've had the pleasure of being like, that's my church. And the first one happened as school began last August. A group of volunteers from Cascade showed up at North Bend Elementary to do nothing more than to weed beds and put beauty bark in the parking lot. And they also went around to the courtyard area at North Bend Elementary, and they pulled out a bunch of weeds, and they spread bark. And it actually really, it was like total transformation. They had just painted the building. It looked like brand new place. And Mrs. Shepherd, the principal there, has been so, so effusive in her appreciation to us, both in terms of just verbally stopping people in the hall, or we've been in their newsletter. That makes such a difference. And the reason I point this out is because a couple years ago, someone asked me, the question was, Dan, what difference does it make if we as a church show up and rake leaves and put bark somewhere, you know, as opposed to a group of employees from AT&T? Isn't it just all community service? And I said, well, yeah, it kind of is community service. But the reason why we're doing it is because we're doing it in Jesus' name. And I would also say that as a church, we're involved in our community because we care about our community and the people who live right here. And we want to serve them in Jesus' name. And just because, you know, we're not handing out tracts or passing out Bibles, that doesn't mean that it's any less of a ministry, something like that. And then a week ago, I got a tweet. I got a picture of this. And this came from the Facebook feed of Echo Glen Children's Center. And let me read it for you. It was like Christmas in October today, as our culinary cottage cooking program at Echo Glen just received a whole bunch of boxes full of new cooking supplies. Huge thanks to our friends over at Cascade Covenant Church in North Bend for their very generous donation. We now have 6 cottages fully operational, and this new gear will get us set for cottage number 7. And so this was texted to me by one of my neighbors who's not a part of our church. He's connected there. And he was like, is this you? Thank you so much. And so, of course, I was like, well, yes, this is us. You're very welcome. And then I texted one of our people. And I'm like, did we do this? They're like, yes, yes. I know. I already knew there's tons of people that volunteer there, but we also gave them a grant to help start some of this cooking stuff that they're doing. And that just blessed me so much. That made me so proud of our church. And I don't think that you're aware of the small army of people who volunteer there week in and week out. And so I want to invite Nicola Badenhorst to come and join us. And at the first service, we had Jeff Ravenia, who came up and told us a little bit about Echo Glen. And Nicola is so kind to join us for this service. And I think just the simplest way to start is tell us what is Echo Glen.
Echo Glen is a juvenile detention center just close to the highway at Snoqualmie Ridge, Snoqualmie Parkway. And yeah, that's where there's only 2 in King County, and it's a medium maximum security facility. It's got 8 cottages and 2 female cottages, which is the only ones in King County. So, and it's absolutely beautiful to drive there. Anyway, that's what it is.
Yes, and so kids who are under 18 that are in the justice system end up living there.
Yeah, it goes from 10 to 20.
And so as a volunteer, you show up, and I imagine that there's a number of things that you could do there as a volunteer. Could you, like, tell us what you do?
Okay. There's a lot of opportunities. A lot of it goes through Smile Power, which is also a Christian organization. I've only done 3 of them, but so the one I've done is the mentorship, where you, my action plan is what they call it. You go for a day training in Seattle, and then you mentor youth, which is 4 months from release usually. And each week you'll meet him or her for an hour and you work with them for the program. When they come out, what are they going to do? Some are at a point where you can tell them what career are you going to go to when you're done. So that one takes a lot of, I've done it, it's emotional, and it does take a lot of commitment. That's why I haven't done it this year again. When I'm at a point, I will do it. Then the other one I've started is the cooking one, and I also didn't know that you gave the cooking supplies. It's a fun one. It's an amazing one. It's every 2 weeks, and you go to a cottage, and you do a recipe with them, and then afterwards they eat together. They love that. So thanks for the supplies. Then the other one is bi-monthly, every 2 months. You go, they call it a social community project, where they do a project for another charity. Like in, I think next week, they're doing warm pillows, which they then have to sew, the kids, and it goes to 10 cities in Seattle. And that's also a very fun one. But then those are the only ones I've done, but they've got numerous ones where you can tutor, where you can adopt a cottage and bake birthday cakes for them. You can be part of the canine program where they take rescue dogs and train them. Yeah, so and there's a lot.
So a lot of different ways that you can volunteer. Tell us what difference it makes for you. And also what difference it might make for one of the kids that you've mentored or that you've spent time with.
The biggest one that meant something huge to me is the mentorship. I learned a lot from I got off my pedestal and learned what it is like to be homeless, to not have a family that supports you, to have a family that were all in the crime system, and then to get your life together. So that meant a lot for me. And the boy once said to me, "Why do you do this?" And I had to tell him, "Because I care." And he was flabbergasted. So I think that's what it meant for him and for me. And the cooking one is just fun, and they enjoy it, and they really appreciate that we're all there.
So if we wanted to get involved, what would we do?
I'll give the link to you and the Smile Power one, and you could just go on the link and you can contact them. You decide which one you want to do.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll put that on our Facebook page. And also, if you're interested, you can contact our office and we'll get you either connected to the right people so that you could begin serving there. So thank you, Nicola. Please give her a round of applause. Finally, last but definitely not least, is our very own rest stop, and I want to shine the light on this because it is one of the prominent things that we do in our community. And rest stop is a ministry of Cascade Covenant to families who have kids with special needs. And so on a Friday night, once a month during the school year, I don't know, man, there's like 30 kids and family, you know, so it's probably like 60 or 80 kids. If I'm really getting these numbers wrong, like, please correct me. And like another 30 plus volunteers show up, and we turn this entire church into like playtime. So there's a bouncy house right here. There's lots of cars and balls and stuff being like thrown around in here. Each one of the rooms that as you head down the hallway are there different breakout sessions. I mean, there's a snack room. There's a, you know, a toy room. There's a reading room. There's a quiet room. There's a Lego room. Anything that a kid might find interesting or fun on an evening. And some of our volunteers are paired up as buddies with kids who have special needs. And then there's also, you know, mom and dad just drop all the kids off and they get to go have date night. That's why it's called rest stop. This is a time at least once a month where the kids, they don't have to worry about them, because how do you find a babysitter? You come here to Cascade and you can have a night to yourself. And so it's a huge blessing in the lives of many families. But I actually think it's maybe more of a bigger blessing in the lives of people who volunteer. And so I want to invite both Jackie Carell, if she's with us, and her boys to come up, because they volunteer at Rest Stop. And then also Dan Honor to come and join us as a parent, as Sierra's dad, and some of the experiences that he's had just as a parent who benefits from this ministry. So I'll just begin with Jackie as a volunteer. What was the original draw, I guess, for you as to come and be a volunteer at Rest Stop?
It was actually, I didn't know I wanted to help with this ministry. It was during a Wednesday morning women's Bible study that Holly Gappa had come in and talked about that we needed some extra help, some volunteers at Rest Stop, and it was a wonderful opportunity for the family. And I thought, I don't know, I've never been trained to work with special need families, and but I just felt something tugging at my heart, and I couldn't help it. So I went up to Holly, I said, I'd love to volunteer, and she's like, great, we need buddies. And so I was actually buddied up from my very first night, and it was in December, and I thought, okay, I prepared all week that I was going to go, and I was going to serve and be a blessing to this family, and they got to have a night out, and it was really strange because I didn't expect the impact that I went to help out a family, but what God did was he just shined so much love, and he blessed me that night, and it was so amazing. I remember telling Pastor Angela that this was the most amazing thing, and if you have an opportunity, I please ask you that. It is just amazing what God can do on Rest Stop nights for you. And even though you think you're serving and helping this family out, it is just such a blessing. And I've been buddied up with Madeline for 4 years now, and I look forward every month to seeing Madeline. And now my boys come with me, and it's a whole family thing. And we've started, some of my son's friends are old enough to come and volunteer. And though they don't come to our church, they come and they volunteer, and they love loving on these children. And it's just an amazing opportunity, and God just shines so beautifully on those nights.
Yes, and that's a big key. Like I'd say, there are many volunteers who are not a part of Cascade, and also many families who come that aren't either. But I want to hear from you guys. Like, what do you do on a Rest Stop night?
Usually, I'm not a buddy, so I just like wander, and I get to go have an awesome time and play with all these kids who may not have the abilities to go play sports like I do. So it's really fun to do this once a month.
Yeah, awesome. And Taylor, what do you do on a Rest Stop night when you come here? What do you like to do?
I like to play with the bouncy houses and play in the Lego room.
Yeah, so can you show everybody here, when you're in the bouncy house, what does that look like? Awesome. I was trying to get you to jump up and down, but that is awesome, right? Oh.
Jump up and down.
Say awesome.
Awesome. And you, what do you do? Tell us that.
I pray over dinner sometimes.
Wow. So I mean, that's something to come and join you in praying sometime, right? If you haven't been a volunteer at Rest Stop, you should just come for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dan, you're kind of on the receiving end of this, and I know that as I'm trying to help you through this so that you don't feel emotional, but it's hard not to be emotional, right? What impact has this had on your family?
It's been a huge impact. Like it's really hard to measure and express in words what Rest Stop means to my family and really our community. I wish other folks that aren't part of our church, I know they come here, they may have the same sentiments that I share here today. What has it meant to our family? Well, first, a practical thing. It gives my wife and I a chance to go actually rest. We go usually try to go to dinner or go for a walk, maybe out here in the rain and go walk on the trail in the dark. It's peaceful. There's no one bothering you. It's awesome. It's quiet. So that's a really practical thing. But I could say the impact is just huge to have a safe place that you trust. Just like if you were to bring your kids or somebody to come to your house, like a babysitter, who's going to care for this person with special needs? It becomes very difficult to the point where you just don't go. And this kind of thing is just awesome that lots of people in our community get to benefit from this. You know, they don't come to our church. So it really shows the love of our community to my family and all others. It's just so powerful, awesome. I can't say thank you enough. And I would say that this thing to me, in a kind of a nutshell, I'm trying to be brief. I could talk for days about this, is that Rest Stop really is a gift that I can probably never repay. And it just keeps going. It keeps giving. It's amazing. I never expect it. It's so cool every time.
So Sierra comes, and then you also bring your other kids too, right? And what, I mean, like, what's their experience?
So my two younger kids that are 9, Cassidy and Riley, they both love looking forward to rest stop. And they just have a great time playing. I mean, it's so cool just to have them go to an experience like this. It's not about special needs. They see it as, let's go have fun. They might think, oh, there's kids with different stuff, equipment. They don't think of that at all. That's so cool, so inclusive. We should do this everywhere. What a great example. And I guess kind of a funny thing goes with this. How do you know the kids are having a good time? They don't even have to tell you. You go home, they're in bed like, bam, fall asleep. And then the next morning, nobody wakes up for quite a while. You're like, what's going on? Oh, you were at rest stop. Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Please give them a round of applause. And just a shameless commercial, Rest Stop is coming up actually next week, next Friday, and we need volunteers. And this is something where you have to check in with Julie or with Angela to get background checks, because safety is really important to us. But if you've never done this, or it's been a while since you've been at Rest Stop, you need to come. You need to be a part of this. It's I just can't say enough good things about it. I don't think any of us could. And it also makes me proud to be a part of a church who's able to bless their community in that way. So won't you all please join me in prayer? Lord, we are just so grateful for all the good gifts and good people that you've put in our life. And when we come on a morning like this and we get to kind of see behind the scenes of some of the different many, many ways in which your followers are seeking to serve and love and care for others, Lord, it's just so motivating. It's so encouraging. And so we just pray that we would kind of capture a little bit of that momentum in our own life, Lord. And throughout this next week, that you'd open our eyes to ways in which we can bless others, ways that you can use us, if for just nothing else than to be a listening ear in the life of someone. And we know that you use those significantly for your work. So help us to be a blessing, Lord. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Well, God bless you. We'll see you next week.